The Lowell Green Podcast is brought to you by Scheel Furniture and Appliances in Pakenham. See Scheels.ca.
Question. I've got a couple of topics, but I want to start with this one. In your opinion, should high school students be told what they can and cannot wear? Big controversy at Beatrice Deloge Catholic High School in Vanier yesterday and again today. Students are marching with shorts in protest today. What's your opinion? This is a pretty delicate, pretty tricky question, I think. The dress code in Catholic high schools, I'm not sure if there is a dress code in public schools. Some of you people who have children or grandchildren in public schools might be able to apprise me. But in Catholic high schools in this area, there is a dress code. The code says, among other things, clothes must be clean, they must be decent and appropriate, and no vulgar words. Skirts, pants, shorts must be thigh length, and shoulders must be covered completely. In other words, you can't show too much skin. Yesterday, there was what they call a dress code blitz at Beatrice Deloge High School. Several students were told their clothing was inappropriate and they must change. Apparently, several students were taken out into the hallway, I guess lectured and told they had to change their clothes. Oh boy, as you can imagine, all hell has broken loose. Some students even say they are in shock. Guess, you know, our students today are so delicate, protected from everything, that they're in shock when they're told that, you know, they got to have slightly longer pants. But anyway, parents, or at least some of them, are outraged. The school principal says since Easter, staff have held meetings with students to remind them of the dress code and show them examples of what is allowed and not allowed. So, after all of this, what's your opinion? Should schools have any kind of dress code? Or should students be left to dress the way they and their parents want? It seems to me one of the major questions here is, who should have control over a student's clothing? The student themselves? The parents? The students and the parents, or the school? Very clearly, when it comes to Catholic schools, they say that they have some control, that they will deem some clothing to be inappropriate. But what do you think? I can understand parents being upset if clothing, let's say, that they bought for their child is deemed to be inappropriate. But on the other hand, I think you have to admit it's probably true that some people, particularly young rebellious teenagers, will go to great lengths to shock or amuse fellow classmates. So, as I said at the outset, it's a difficult question. Who should determine what is appropriate clothing? The student, the parents, or the school? Is thigh-length shorts, skirt, too restrictive? And how about having to cover your shoulders? Is it just too far in today's world? Your thoughts. And by the way, if you have a child or grandchild in school, what are your rules? What are the rules in your school? And what are the rules in your house? I know some parents have dress codes. Some parents don't. What's your feeling? John, give us once again how people get in touch. I have a couple of other topics, but this is, I think, a very delicate question here. In the end, it kind of is a question of freedom. How much freedom can we give anybody, I guess, for that matter? John, how do people get in touch with us?
All right. We'd love your phone calls, and you can text the number as well, 613-413-2217, 613-413-2217. We're on Facebook, Lowell's Facebook, my Facebook, also on the Blast the Radio Facebook. We're on Twitch, we're on YouTube, and we are on Twitter. The easiest thing for you, if you haven't already discovered the show links, just go to lowellgreen.com or blasttheradio.com/lowellgreen. All of your show links are right there.
You can even go to Alexa. Alexa will find me, eh?
Yep. Alexa, Google, play Blast the Radio. And after the show's done, Alexa, Google, play the Lowell Green podcast. We've got you all set up. Yeah.
On another topic, columnist Chris Shelley, who I have a fair amount of respect for, writes in the Post today that having Pierre Poilievre as leader of the Conservative Party is too risky. I'd like to know what your reaction to that is. What do you think of that? Too risky. Not sure what's risky. Well, but that's his opinion.
Does he get into details as to why he's formulated that opinion?
He does a little bit. He's talking about, you know, trying to get rid of the governor of the Bank of Canada. He considers risky stuff, so forth. The fact of the matter is that Pierre is a different kind of politician. And this disturbs a lot of people, a traditionalist. And in some ways, it's kind of divorced from the kind of politician that we generally have. Most politicians, they're like salve, an anointing cream, I guess. They like to sort of salve over everything. Mm. Don't offend anybody, etc. Pierre very clearly not afraid of offending people. And as I say, that makes him a very different person. Your thoughts? And, how about this? I've just received some inside information from car dealers that they are almost positive that coming down the pipe very shortly will be an edict from the second most dangerous man in Canada, Stephen Guilbeault, Environment Minister. And he and Trudeau are going to mandate, they're going to create quotas for the number of electric cars that car dealers right across the country must sell. I don't know what the quota is. The car dealers don't know what the quota is, but they're very, very worried because, as one car dealer told me, most people don't want an electric car. They can't afford them. They don't know what the ongoing costs are. They're worried about driving in the winter with the batteries, etc. There are many unanswered questions when it comes to the true cost of electric vehicles. And if we are told that we have to sell X number without a lot of how are our salespeople supposed to tell someone when someone says, well, how long will the battery last? If, you know, we don't know. How much does it cost to replace a battery? We don't know. Some people who are really environmentally friendly say, well, what happens when the battery is disposed of? Where does it go? Well, the car dealer says, we don't know. So how are you going to sell a car to people when you don't know half the answers to the questions that they ask? But anyway, it's coming down, folks. It's very clearly, this government is so idealistic when it comes to the environment that it doesn't matter whether they impoverish you, drive people out of business, or drive us just bonkers. They're going to do it. John, you had some thoughts about this electric vehicle business.
Well, okay, so let's just go back to your initial comment there. Okay, that you've had these conversations with car dealers.
Yeah.
And what I want the listener / viewer to hear you say is quotas on what they must sell, not what they must offer.
That's right.
They must sell. I can't think of anything else in the world where we are mandated on what we must sell. Other than the only parallel I could draw is the Canadian content regulations that radio and TV have to adhere to. That's mandated.
We have a government that's not afraid to mandate. I mean, this is a government, let's never forget, that without a court order or a warrant froze people's bank accounts for the mere sin of coming to Ottawa and raising, you know, didn't raise hell. They raised a bouncy castle. Let's be honest. I mean,
no, I know.
You think that they wouldn't extend themselves this far? This is a government that, without a court order or any legal precedent, froze the bank accounts of a good many people, without a judge's order, a warrant, or anything else. So, if they're prepared to do that, you don't think they're prepared to tell a car dealer? Now, my understanding is that they will tell the car dealers, you have to sell X, you have to sell, you're right, have to sell X number of electric vehicles. And if you don't, well, there'll be a number of penalties, probably a fine, and very clearly the possibility they might be driven out of business.
But I mean, that's the thing. So if I show up on a car lot and I want to buy this Honda Civic, all right, and it's a gas-powered Honda Civic, it's there, it's in their inventory, I want to buy it, I've got cash in hand. Sorry, John, we can't sell that to you until we sell five of these electric cars.
May come to that. That's what they're worried about. Unless, of course, there's a huge outcry. But as we all know, most Canadians are whatever Trudeau does or wants, Trudeau gets. So we'll see. But this, you know, in a way, this is kind of ties in with the topic on children's clothing, on students' clothing. How much freedom do we have here? Should car dealers have the freedom to sell whatever vehicle they want? Should students be allowed to wear whatever clothes they want? It's a matter of freedom. How much are we prepared to take away? John, we got any responses yet on any of these topics?
Yeah, we do. We've got a call coming in. I haven't had a chance to screen it. How ballsy do you feel today, Lowell?
Oh, I don't care. Anybody, whatever, if they want to have a comment, let's have it.
All right,
who's
on the line, please? What's your name?
Yeah, it's Paul calling from Kanata.
Paul?
Yes. Hi, Paul.
We like Kanata. You can talk to Lowell now, Paul. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks.
What do you think, Paul?
You brought up the question a couple days ago and again today about the electric cars.
Yes.
And there was a really interesting publication from a European agency. It's a new car assessment program agency. They looked at the emissions over the lifetime of cars, and they compared, gas, diesel, and electric. And the answer is not black and white. And we got a couple knocks against us. It's a really interesting thing to see because it's a government agency, kind of like the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration in the U.S.
Right.
They assess crashes and stuff.
Right.
So they're credible. Eh? And it's not black and white. Like, you're not reducing to zero. These are, although they call them zero-emission vehicles, there's the production of the vehicle itself, the production of the battery. These all create CO2 gases. There's also the cost of the where you get the electricity from. It doesn't just appear magically at your plug. So there's a lot of factors, but a couple knocks against Canada specifically is we're greatly impacted in terms of electric range due to our cold weather. Everything's fine when it's like 27 degrees out, but in this exact same European report, they said if you go from like whatever 25, 27 degrees optimal conditions for an electric vehicle down to -7, you literally have to use double the energy to go the same distance. And it's a range hit that you take.
Right.
And of course, everybody knows in February here, I mean, the car might have been sitting in -30 degrees overnight.
Paul, we have to move on. This is very interesting. I couldn't agree more. I think the jury is still out. Many unanswered questions. We still, John, you may jump in on this, but we were getting comments yesterday when people said, installing the plug-in in your home or garage is about $10,000.
Right.
Some people say it isn't that much. There seems to be any range. So there seems to be a lot of controversy over exactly what does it cost to have a plug-in installed in your home, just as one example. And we still don't have the answer how long these batteries will last, particularly, as you point out, Paul, in cold weather. How far will they take us in cold weather? And not only that, but what kind of emission? I mean, people seem to think, oh, you plug your car in and there's no emissions. Well, I'm sorry, but there were emissions created in creating the electricity. Right now, for example, I just did it again today, between wind and solar in this province, it's producing just slightly less than 10% of our needs. So people who think, oh, well, you know, we can power our cars with windmills, you can't. It's simple as that. Paul, thank you very much. You know what? If you get any more additional information, please let us know, because I think you're right. The jury is still out on this. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Lowell. I'll send you
yes,
email
sir.
With that link.
Please.
Lowell at blasttheradio.com, please. Thanks.
Yeah,
thank you.
Right,
thank bye-bye. You, Paul. Good. John, we got some more comments coming
this,
in here.
This is the frustrating thing, is trying to get to some sort of, like, make sense of this. Everywhere you turn, it's a different amount for this, a different amount for that. Okay, we got lots of comments coming in. We got a couple of subjects on the go here. Ann says, no PJs revealing tank tops and no shorts exposing your ass. Peter says, good taste and not revealing. Good to shock snowflakes. Too many students following the sometimes costumes that Trudeau wears. Peter is in on Facebook. When students or people in general have to go off to work, they have to dress in the outfit that is business professional or uniform. Example, A&W Burgers, etc.
So I guess so far the consensus is that the schools have a right to have a dress code. Okay, that's interesting. Go ahead.
Yep, the concern I had from a parent this morning in the inbox was that there were people measuring her daughter's thigh.
Oh, well, may or may not be true.
Right, that may be a bit of an exaggeration. Now, if that's true, yeah, I would go batshit crazy on whoever was doing that if I was a parent of a child and that was happening. Let me see. How long do car batteries last? Glenn says, warrantied for 8 years, 100,000 kilometers. That's about the time frame. Ann says, there's a multitude of issues with these EVs that are not being thought through by the liberal talking heads informing their policy. It seems devoid of any kind of practicality.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I'd like some comments on what you think of a government that feels that it has the power to legislate the kind of car that you drive.
Well, that's the thing.
Don't you think that that is taking government power just a little bit too far? I think that's a key question here. Now, don't forget, and this is what the big convoy was about. You may have agreed, and I agreed with some of the mandates concerning vaccines. But nonetheless, this was tremendous power. As I mentioned once before, governments even legislated whether you can eat popcorn in a movie theater or not. That's the kind of freedom. We got to be real careful, folks. The governments will always try to justify. They tried to justify the Emergency Measures Act. Et cetera. And they always seem to be able to come up with reasons why we need our freedoms restricted. Well, you may have some other thoughts. Go ahead, please, John.
All righty, let's go to email. Lisa says, I predict that if things continue the way they are in terms of OW and ODSP rates, children will be dropped off at orphanages and a few bodies will be found in snowbanks this coming winter. Dress codes are the least of parents' worries, as will the popularity of MAID. MAID. That's the assisted suicide.
That's right.
Yeah, a substantial increase beyond the 5% promised by the Ford government is needed. And before you ask, the money will come from the estimated billions accumulated in savings during the past 25 years.
Well, what is she
years.
Talking about? What's she talking about here? I'm sorry.
I don't know. The email
money for what?
The email subject line is dress codes, and there's very little in there about dress codes.
Okay.
Anyway, I just grab them and I read them, lol.
I know.
I don't get a chance to screen a lot of them.
People's thoughts sometimes are a little bit scattered. Go ahead.
Yep. School uniforms are compulsory at St. Mary's Catholic Secondary School in Brockville, says Carl. Tom says, yes, schools should have some say on clothes.
I'd like to hear from some Protestants. Does the public school system in Ottawa, and Brockville for that matter, have a dress code? Could someone please address that for me. Thank you. Go ahead, John.
The Protestant schools. Okay, we'll look for that. Lisa says, I'm sick of government poking into our lives. In a free society, governments should not dictate what we buy, says Anne. Lynn, we keep losing our freedoms one by one. As for electric vehicles, Lisa says, Canadian Tire is the only place she's ever seen Tesla power charging stations. Are there any others? I've never seen one anywhere. Maybe I'm not looking in the right places, but...
You haven't seen a charging station?
No.
There's at City Hall. You can charge for free. Well, we taxpayers are paying it. So City Hall employees who have electric vehicles, they get free parking in addition to really fat salaries, and they can plug in for free electricity. You and I are in the wrong business, John. So, and the library, the public library, for example, here in Canada, has a free charging station. As I said yesterday, and I've said before, if you people think that these things can continue to be free, they can't. Somebody's got to pay for this hydro, and I'll be damned if we taxpayers should pay for other people's fuel in their electric vehicles. We're already being, everybody buys an electric vehicle. You get $5,000 from me and from you, and we also have to provide free fuel for them? Ah, to hell with that. Go ahead,
John. I mean, it wasn't that long ago we were in a situation where we were being told by the hydro company, look, you know, you use your washer and dryer, your dishwasher in off-peak hours.
That's right.
You know, and which, you know, now when I turn my air conditioner on, which I have,
And you feel guilty.
I'm feeling guilty about all the energy that I'm using. And now there's a push for me to use more energy to charge an electric car. Like, none of this is making any sense. And this,
you know,
is-
the funny thing is, check with, see what's happening in California. California, of course, the great left coast. They've erected all of these windmills and solar panels over the whole damn place. And every single day, whether it's real hot or real cold, there are blackouts and brownouts, people told to cut back and so, because they just can't get enough electricity. Meantime, just to the north of them, here in Canada, we have enough oil to provide all the electricity that the United States could ever need. Go ahead, John.
On Twitch, Chrissy says, crazy thought with all the LRT expansion. Something we don't know here. Focusing us to buy an electric vehicle. Interesting. My brother has charged at Lansdowne Park in the past before they had installed at their house. Okay. And I guess regarding the email that we were trying to make sense of there, what she's pushing for is, according to someone, where did that go? She wants welfare raised. There you go. Charging times and range for various chargers. Bolt EV, 120 volt, 4 miles of range in approximately 1 hour, 240 volts at 11 kilowatts. Full charge is approximately 7. See, you know what the problem is, Lowell? We can't get this broken down into plain basic English. This is why we can't make sense of this.
And
stuff.
You know what? I mean, Tesla, which makes most of the all-electric cars, You can't get all that information from them either. Ask I've tried. Ask Tesla how long the battery will last. Ask Tesla how many CO2 emissions are created in making the battery. Ask Tesla where the ingredients for the batteries come from. They won't be able to tell you. Go ahead, John.
Let's get a word in here for Shields. We're 22 minutes in.
Good idea. I can tell you this, that if you want a really good bargain on an appliance of any kind, dishwasher, you know, whatever, ovens, Shields is the place to go, folks. Great bargains, some great prices, some great sales underway right now. And as I said before, they know what other dealers are charging. They know how much the big box stores are charging, and they have to price their items to match. Their cost of operations a little bit lower in Pakenham, and whenever possible, they pass that along. And don't forget, they have this in stock. There's no waiting for a month or longer or whatever it is, as you will have with many big box stores. They have it in the warehouse 99% of the time, and they'll be able to deliver to your home, whether it be in Ottawa, St. Lawrence Valley, whatever. Even into the province of Quebec, I understand. And they'll be able to do it in 2 or 3 days in all probability. John, what else have we got here?
We have another John on the phone. John from Killaloo. Go ahead. You are on with Lowell Green.
My goodness. Good to hear from Killaloo. How about the world? How about the world up there in Killaloo?
Yeah, it's beautiful up here.
Yes, it
is. I wanted to talk to you about electric cars.
Sure.
My neighbor had a friend that he came from Barrie. He had bought a new electric car. It was a Kona. I think it's Hyundai makes them.
Okay, yes.
And I got to talking to him about them because I was interested in how they worked. Eh? And he was telling me when he got here, he plugged in, because the neighbor next door only had one, like a 110. You could plug in for 110, eh?
Right.
And he told me it would take 3 days to charge it for him to drive back to Barrie on a 110 unit, eh? So, and then he also told me, he said, if you have a 220 set up, like if you have, which you use the same as for a dryer, eh?
Yes.
And you put one of those plugs in outside. It's a special plug you put outside.
Yes.
It takes 8 to 12 hours to charge the car.
I bet you see this. Yeah, go ahead.
And if you want a fast charge, well, it's a special unit you got to get. And you basically got to change your whole panel, eh? And even with the 220, like I live where I live, like I have a 200 amp service, eh?
Right.
Most people in the city, anywhere, only have a 100 amp service, eh?
That's right. That's correct.
So there's no room really in your boxes to put any, like to put a 220 service in for your electric vehicle. So if you're living in...
Yeah. I think, John, this is why there seems to be such variance in what it really costs. I think a lot depends on the kind of service you have in your home, what kind of a box that you've got there, fuse box, et cetera, and there's also a variance in whether you want just the standard charger or if you want one that will charge quickly. So the prices are different, but go ahead.
I live in I live in Round Lake, but in Killaloe, they basically put in electrical boxes. The hydro did it, eh?
Right.
They basically put them in for free. But if you go, see, they're not a quick charge, eh? So right. if you go there, it still takes you 8 to 12 hours to charge it, eh? So you basically, if you're on a trip, you can't just stop into Killaloe and recharge your car. But there is places where you can do that, eh? In Petawawa, they have what they call a quick charge. So you can take, like this guy, in order to go home, what he had to do, he drove to Petawawa and recharged his car, eh? Then he drove back to Barrie, eh?
It's crazy. John, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
I think you're just pointing out there's a lot of confusion here.
Oh,
thank you very much.
God, there sure is.
Sure
have
is.
A good day.
Thank you, sir. John, what else have we got here, John?
There we go. Compromise EV with hybrid, baby steps, says Brian. Keep the pipelines open to make Canada some money. Let's go over to Chrissy. Longer road trips if you have to keep stopping and charging. Time wasted. Example, almost 7 hours to Hamilton from Ottawa. Definitely have to research the stops along the 401 and pray that you don't have to wait in line to charge. There was a good comment on YouTube from our show a couple of days ago. Somebody said, okay, let's think of apartment buildings. Are these apartment building owners now going to be on the hook to have to put all of these chargers in their parking garages for all of their renters? And there's just no end to
if they do, John, just think, if they do, in all probability, if Trudeau gets his way, they will have to. Just imagine how much extra cost that is going to put on the manufacturer of new homes. I mean,
the cost of renting, and on and on. It just
on and on.
There's
yeah.
no end to this. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. You want low cost housing, but you're going to force the landlord to install a $10,000 plug-in box. I mean, this is the thinking of many people in government today. Oh yeah, we want lower cost housing, but let's add 10 to 15% to the cost of building the damn thing in the first place. Go ahead, John.
Craig says anyone with 100 amp service could install a pony box, which would allow for the rapid charge. Peter says Trudeau doesn't think of the long term problems of his dreams. Lowell, you should ask an electrician. Listen to call in and give you some info you are lacking, says Glenn. Okay.
Well, I think a lot of electricians are confused as well. I've talked to electricians about this. They're very all we know from electricians is that if we're going to have 30 or 40 or 50% of vehicles electric, we're going to have a brand new grid. And the cost of building an entirely new grid in Ontario is estimated to be about $1 trillion. That's today. Tomorrow, who the hell knows?
Well, that article that I read on the air yesterday said that if you're on a street with 25 homes and three of those homes are charging electric vehicles, you are now overloading the grid.
Precisely. The grid is not designed. The grid is not designed to take that kind of load. Very clearly, it will have to be totally rebuilt. The cost will be enormous. Go ahead, John.
Let's go to text 613-413-2217. Justin gets what he wants because he legalized pot. Now he has his happy, sleepy following just going along with all the BS he's shelling out. Let the BS carbon tax and Bill C-11. The rest of us are going crazy. Maybe if their pot prices are raised, they'll stand up against him.
maybe if some of these women that support Trudeau have to push an electric vehicle to the next, to the closest plug-in, maybe they'll change their minds on this guy. Go ahead, John.
Kelly says, if you live in an apartment and you install an AC, they charge you extra already. Rent will only go up more if they install these chargers. Rent is already way too expensive. I bet Justin Trudeau does not even know how to charge a light or how to change a light bulb, says Ann. So he probably understands nothing of the impactability of all of
this. Well, actually, there's a very interesting video. He tried to raise the Canadian flag at our embassy in Kyiv. Did you see that?
That could happen to any of us.
But he's the prime minister. He should at the very least know how to raise the Canadian flag.
Well, he did. Okay. Have you seen the video, Lowell? I can't believe I'm defending this. But okay, so he wasn't the one raising the flag. It was the ambassador, the Canadian ambassador to the Ukraine embassy was trying to raise the flag. And the little ring at the bottom got caught on something. He actually was trying to solve it. There. Prime Minister Trudeau, I just defended you to Lowell Green.
Have it your way, John. Have it your way. Listen, have a good weekend, folks. It's beautiful. The weekend is supposed to be great.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Thank you very much. We'll be back Monday.
The Lowell Green Show is seen and heard live around the world at 2 p.m. Eastern. Connect with us online at blasttheradio.com/Lowell Green. Can't join us live? Download the Lowell Green Podcast. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and more. Ask your smart speaker to play the Lowell Green Podcast. This is a production of blasttheradio.com.